When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Eric Fisher here, taking you on a walk with me this morning. And there's a reason for that. So, if you've been listening to the last two episodes, which, if you've not listened to those yet, I strongly suggest you hit pause on this and go back and listen to the last two episodes about sleep. The first one was with Dr. Michael Bruce, and the second one was with Sean Stevenson. And based on the two conversations there, as well as other experimentation that I've been doing, the last solo show I did was way back in June or July. The experiment was in June. And anyway, I want to pull things together here. It's the end of December. It's the end of the year. In fact, the next episode is going to be all about resolutions with Ryan McCrae. So look for that. But, I have been thinking a lot about sleep lately and trying to get better sleep lately for a lot of reasons. A lot of those reasons were stated in the last two episodes. But let me give you a personal story first. So recently we moved twice. Once when we sold our house, and the second time was when we moved out of the place we were staying temporarily and moved into the place that we are now renting for a while. And so I was not getting the greatest of sleep. In fact, there was a season there of a few weeks where, one, I would either have kind of like weird eye twitches during the day, which is really annoying, and no amount of naps or medicine or caffeine would take away that eye twitch, on top of the fact that I was waking up at about 4 to 5 o'clock every morning. And no, it was not intentional. I was not getting up to perform a 5 a.m. miracle. I wanted the sleep. I needed the sleep. And I was waking up that early. And even if I'd gone to bed, somehow forced myself to go to bed early at about 9. So you can imagine the fascination with sleep and the conversations that I've had with those recent podcast interviewees, Dr. Michael Bruce and Sean Stevenson. So, why am I outside walking right now? Well, according to my chronotype, I'm a bear. And so I need to get up with about the sunrise and get sun. Unfortunately, this time of year right now, the sun is not up until about 8 o'clock, and I am nowhere near the ability to sleep until 8 o'clock. I wish I could. That'd be great. I'd go to bed at midnight and get up at 8, and, you know, but kids and life necessitate other options happening. So what I've been doing to unpack what I've learned from Dr. Michael Bruce's book is, which is The Power of Time, or I forget because I'm walking here. I don't have it in front of me. But anyways, his book, all about chronotypes, which is awesome. In fact, I lent it to a friend of mine. By knowing my chronotype and knowing that I need to get, and my doctor has even told me so in the past, I need to get as much sunlight as I can during this type or this time of year, which is the time of year where there's the least amount of sunlight out. So that can be a struggle for me. So what I was doing is I was unpacking not only Dr. Michael Bruce's stuff, but Sean Stevenson's stuff without having known it before talking to him. And so what I did was I started to get up first thing in the morning at about 5 or 5:30 or 6, depending upon... See, and I was letting myself sleep till like 7, and my internal body clock was still waking me up too early. So I said to myself, well, if I'm up this early already, then I'm going to already have my workout stuff ready, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to walk. I'm either going to walk outside if it's nice, or like today. It's pretty cold out, but I decided to do the walk around the neighborhood thing, even with the snow. You can occasionally hear the crunches. But the other option is I'll get up and I'll jump in the car and I'll have my stuff ready to go, and I will go to the gym. And so the sun is starting to come up at that point, but if nothing else, I'm getting out into the light, I'm getting out into the gym, and I'm warming my body up with physical activity first thing in the morning. And so by getting the serotonin levels up first thing in the morning, as well as warming my body up first thing in the morning, I'm waking myself up sooner and better and faster. I'm getting to bed sooner. So even if my body, which has still at times woken me up at about 4 or 4:30 or 5 or 5:30, way before the 6 to 6:30 sleep alarm that I have, I'm at least getting a higher quality of sleep. I feel like I'm a little bit better rested and doing a little bit better there. I'm also then, after getting home from working out, taking some time to get some coffee a little bit, starting with harder stuff in the day, and then having an actual caffeine curfew, like Sean Stevenson suggests, the half-life of caffeine being about 8 hours, apparently. So at about 2 o'clock, I am pretty much cutting off caffeine intake altogether, or if I know I'm just dragging, then I'm actually using other methods to kind of get my heart rate up. Like I'll get up and depending upon where I am working at that time, whether it's the co-working space or it's at home or coffee shop, I know based on where I am. So for example, the coffee shop, I can get up and I can go outside. And even if it's cold out, actually almost better if it's cold out, I'll get a more brisk walk on to warm myself up, as well as wake myself up in multiple ways that way, instead of having a coffee. Constant hydration. So this goes back to the rules. Remember the rules episode? The rules for my experiment. I'll run through them real quick here. Number one, drinking as much water as I possibly can. Drinking so much water during the first front two-thirds of the day that my brain doesn't have headaches. I'm pretty hydrated. I'm thinking clearly. I'm feeling good. I'm suppressing nervous twitch appetite type stuff. And during that month of June, from front to back, I had lost 20 pounds. I was also cutting out caffeine for the most part. There was a few times there where I took like a black coffee. Black because I was cutting out sugar as much as possible, or in total as well. And I was pretty much working out 6 out of 7 days a week. And that's what I'm doing right now, is my YMCA where I go is open 6 out of 7 days, Sunday being the day they're closed. And so that's what I do. And if on that seventh day I'd like to rest, like a Sabbath, hence the Rob Bell podcast, which was awesome, I can, but mostly just to get my heart rate up and be part again of my morning ritual, not so much training my body or anything like that. So, let's see. So where were we? So getting up and doing that. And as far as the chronotype thing goes, I'm still trying to figure out, how my day works out best from Dr. Michael Bruce's book. But I will say that by using his stuff, as well as Sean Stevenson's stuff about getting better sleep. Sleep's the key, guys. Sleep is the key, everybody. Getting better sleep is what is doing way more for me now than the exercise. And you might say, well, but you're doing the exercise too, so technically you're kind of cheating. You're doing sleep and exercise at the same time. Well, maybe. Maybe I am. I don't know. But what I know I'm doing is I'm setting myself up for a better year next year. And one of the things that I noticed was that when I started doing the exercise, I also started doing a morning ritual again, where I was weighing myself first thing in the morning. And when I started, I looked at the scale and I was like, no, that can't be right. And yeah, it was. It was true. I had not gained anything since I had lost all that weight, that 20 pounds, middle of this year. And so I was able to continue to push that down, and I've actually lost more here at the end of this year, which is pretty cool. So I'm ending 2016 lighter than I started it, and that's awesome. Trying to think of what else here. So caffeine curfew, that's part of it. Definitely making sure that I don't have caffeine still in my system as much as possible in the winding down time of the evening, which for me, based on my chronotype, is between 8 o'clock and 10 p.m. in the evening. And I don't have like a strict, like, no, I must be in bed at such and such time. Because one night a week, on Wednesday nights, I meet up with some friends, and we do a thing called West Wing Wednesdays, where we watch old episodes of The West Wing at 9 a.m. or 9 p.m. And we usually, we've gotten better at it, where we only watch one instead of like two or three. So I'm, even on those nights, I'm done with that at about 10, 10:30, and get home between 10:30, 11 at the latest, and pretty much I'm ready for bed, because unlike earlier months, I'm not having caffeine and I'm not drinking tons of sugar or eating tons of food at that point. I have that. One of the other rules was having that eating curfew, I guess, is a way to put it. And so I still don't do that now. And that's, you know, again, having good sleep, having good exercise and activity. And then for me, and I suspect for a lot of people out there, not having tons of late night snacks, where you pack the pounds on like a bear, like me, chronotype-wise. That's one of the keys right there for me, is to not do that. So I will continue to have that kind of boundary of, no, you know what, I've had enough. I've front-loaded my calories of the day. I eat a really good breakfast that's decently packed with protein first thing in the morning. Lunch is a little bit lighter because I do not want to have fatigue in the afternoon, although right after lunch is when I'll kind of have maybe a second coffee, so I'm ahead of the caffeine curfew. And then dinner, I try to either limit the portions or go light on the, you know, what manner of food it is. So opting for salads or, you know, again, lighter portions. If there's something there that's good, just going lighter on that. And
still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search. Just match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch that busy work. Instead, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. I wish I had Indeed when I was in the hiring process in roles in the past, because it is a slow, arduous headache of a process to find the right people. Or, at least it used to be, join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to find and hire great talent fast. In fact, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
One other thing that I do that I've been trying to do is when it comes to, this is kind of a cheat that I found from Tim Ferriss, is, you know, having that quote unquote cheat day from his slow carb diet. Write down the things that you have as like a sudden craving sometime. Write it down and treat it as if it's something that you would like to purchase and that you're not going to just go out and purchase on a whim, but that you're going to save up your money for. And then you select a certain day of the week. Maybe it's your day of rest. Maybe it's your Sabbath day, the day that you don't do work and intentionally recharge. Maybe that's the day that you decide, that's the day I'm going to have that really big, you know, 4 or 5 pieces of pizza or, you know, something along those lines. Maybe that's the day for that. And I've been doing that for the most part, and that's worked out pretty well also. But yeah, just thinking in terms of what to do when you wake up and what to do when you're preparing to lay down. And again, you first have to figure out, okay, what's your chronotype? So you know when, you know, what time of morning and what time of evening are best for you when it comes to setting up these rituals and routines that will set you up for starting your day well as set you up for having great sleep in the evening. Another thing that comes in as far as curfews go, screen curfew. And I know there's this whole idea of the blue light and the orange light and the nighttime mode and all that kind of stuff when it comes to television screens and laptops and cell phones especially. And I'm going to take a little trip down a certain alleyway here, not literally, figuratively, metaphorically. I have been thinking for a while now that even though I use this sleep alarm clock on my phone, that I want to get my phone away from me and not near my bed anymore. I want to not even have the option to pick it up. It's just not good. I have at times, and I'm, you know, not proud of this, but more often than I would like, reached for the phone first thing in the morning and flipped around on it and done stuff on it in bed. And or as I'm laying down, I'm still staring at a screen, even though if the light is not as blue as it could be, it's still a screen. And my wife and I have been trying to work on this with our kids. Last night I did an experiment where they were actually wearing orange goggles that I had got off Amazon, and they both went to bed pretty quickly. So I think that that's partially a help there. But I've been thinking, I want to get a real alarm clock, something that's going to sit by my bed, that's going to tell me the time in the night, and it will be a way for me that if I am awake, that it's really dim and it's not, you know, blinding me with light, but that it also has a like a vibrate mode. So I found one. I'll put the link in the show notes. I found this. It's really cool. It's an the brand is iLove, I-L-U-V, and it's like a time shaker or a time master or something like that. But it has this little plug-in thing and then a little like vibration disc kind of a thing, and you put it under your pillow and you plug that in, and then it will vibrate underneath your pillow as your alarm so that you don't wake up a spouse or significant other, etc., which is important to me because typically I'm waking up before my wife, and it's not in my best interest to have her hear my alarm and be slightly woken up in the morning before it's her time to get up. That is something that I have learned. And so what I have been doing on my sleep cycle phone is, you know, it does that thing where it says, between this time and this time, and I set it for a half hour, that if it's between that half hour and it hears me microphone-wise that I am awake or rustling or whatever, to go ahead and vibrate on my nightstand. And it's quiet enough as it starts that typically within 2 to 3 vibrations or so, I hear it. And the other thing is that typically I am up before then anyway. I usually beat my alarm clock. And in a good way, I beat my alarm clock. Because, of course, there's days where I do and I don't want to be up yet. Like, again, when did I have it set for this morning? Between 6 and 6:30. And it was about 5:45, 5:30. And I wanted to sleep longer, and I did. I didn't get out of bed right away. But again, this is all the training. I'm training myself. I'm training myself to get better sleep, etc. And again, keep in mind, time of year, huge deal when it comes to this. Right now, for example, what I'm doing right now is I am out walking to get more sun in my body and in my eyes, even though I'm bundled up. And I'm realizing that come spring, when the time change happens and there's more time of the day with more sun, that in a sense, my body is going to soak up so much more of that. My doctor said, if you can afford it once a year, when it's real cold out and dark here, get away somewhere for a week and get as much sun as you can. And aside from that, though, getting as much sun as you can within reason during the day is good. So one of the other things that I've learned is that I like to work at some of these coffee shops and position myself to where I am sitting near windows and seeing the daylight in come in and give me a boost. So there's that. Let's see, what's next on my agenda here? Cyber loafing. That's one of the things that I think I was unaware of happening as much as it was, and now I'm not doing that so much nearly as I used to. And, excuse my sniffing, but I am walking outside in like 20 degree weather with a hat on and a coat, etc. But I am glad to have brought you along on this. Cyber loafing. Sean Stevenson, he described that as basically getting online and just spending time flipping channels, if you will. And that is definitely something that I have done, especially when you work on devices, cell phones or tablets or laptops or even desktops, as much as I have over the past 10, 15 years. That's one of those things where if you're tired, it's as if you have no self-control. You are effectively drunk in some ways during your day due to lack of sleep. And so even if you get caffeine in yourself, you're now a jittery drunk. And what we got to do is we got to get better sleep. Better sleep, more sleep, all of the above to cure that. And I am seeing that now, that my anxiety of, oh my gosh, what was it I was doing? I was supposed to be doing this, and now I'm in Wikipedia looking at something. And I'm not saying that, like, oh my gosh, guys, like, every free moment I have, I found myself sitting on random web pages. That's not the case. But it has happened more in the past than it has happened recently. And I've been able to slow down, intentionally go into the internet, use it productively, and then exit it as much as possible, and then work on stuff offline. One of the things that I found is printing out a template for myself and on a piece of paper, and printing that and having that and taking that to a coffee shop and having my laptop with me, yes, but sitting there and writing things down in that template allows me to have non-digital work time and really free up that side of my brain, that piece of my brain, and keep me from having distractions. One other thing that I've tried is FB purity, or Facebook purity, or fluff busting purity. It is a I'll put the link in the show notes, but what it does is it's a plugin for Facebook for your browsers. And I've effectively turned off my Facebook news feed. Yeah, you heard me, dog. Facebook news feed, where when I go to Facebook, my news feed's there for about a second or two, but then it's gone and it doesn't come back. And why is that a good thing? Well, because if you go to Facebook, if you have to use Facebook for any type of work-related thing, which I do, and this would work even if you're not using it for a work-related incident, but if you are using Facebook for work, especially, and you're going there to do a specific thing, and you suddenly open Facebook and you land on your newsfeed, then you're going to be distracted, most likely, because you'll start swiping through to see who's done what or whatever. And so by eliminating that, it got a lot clearer and a lot more focused time-wise, and was able to eliminate that distraction. So yeah, I would highly suggest trying that out and seeing if that works for you. It definitely worked for me, and I've even buried the majority of the Facebook apps, Facebook and social media apps, I should say, buried them in a folder, and not on the first page of that folder, but second level. So if I'm on my phone, I'm not got quick 2-second access to my newsfeed or notifications or anything. And by the way, if you got notifications turned on, turn them off. Seriously. But anyway, so for me, intentionally, I am not going and spending time on Facebook other than, like, say, once or twice a day. And I just kind of go through and see what's there. Been liking it a lot more that way, where I'm not wired for constant contact. It's just not my thing, you know? And working in social media, that can be a little bit difficult. It's not my favorite piece of that whole scenario often. So, and I'm sure that's contributing to better sleep as well. Not having as much of a wired, you know, intention. I think I started this conversation part here, with evening and, you know, screen time. And what I've decided is that, past a certain point, like, I don't use social media at all in the evenings. So at about 8 o'clock or so, no more Facebook, no more anything, even if I was using it. And the reason for that is to quiet your mind. I will allow myself to brainstorm and have, you know, if my brain needs to be quieted, well, the only way that's going to happen is if I do the brain dump slowly in the evenings. I will allow myself to watch TV between like 8 and 9 or even 9:30. And that works out pretty well, I think. We've been better, my wife and I, at not watching TV as late in the evenings. Or what I really want to get to in 2017 is doing a lot more reading in the evenings. And I do mean reading of, like, tangible books. So, let's see, I'm trying to think of where else we can go with this. So caffeine curfew, just pacing yourself, having margin. So figuring out your chronotype, getting better sleep by setting up a better start to your day, a better middle of your day in terms of ordering your tasks and what types they are, and then a better evening ritual to eventually then get better sleep, which then compounds into a better next day, and so on and so on. And not doing an overcompensating thing on the weekends where you have, like, a huge 2 to 3 hour nap. I actually skipped naps altogether this past weekend. Naps are a pretty typical thing in my house on the weekend, especially on a Sunday. And by the way, the last 2 Saturdays or so, my friend Todd and I have gone and done what we call this productivity pub crawl. Well, there will be an episode of this podcast dedicated to what that is, how we implemented it, how we did it the first time, how we changed it up the second time, and let's see if we do it again this Saturday, but we've done it in shifts, and I won't go too much into it. I'll leave you hanging on that as a teaser for a future episode in January. But yeah, so I'm curious to see where you're at with your sleep. How much sleep do you think you need? How much are you getting? What kind of quality sleep are you getting? How often in a night are you getting up? You could use an app like Sleep Cycle on my phone that I've been using to kind of monitor that type of stuff. But yeah, I'm curious to see where you're at with this. I know where I'm at. My goal is to get amazingly better sleep than I have been in the past and really start 2017 much more rested and much more focused this year, much more peaceful and much more intentional. So, well, my walk is done. I'm standing here in the calm peace, seeing flurries come down with a light gray sky, trees with no leaves, a little bit of a breeze, and some light flurries. And, I hope that you enjoy the last two episodes about sleep, and that you have a good closeout of 2016 as you listen to the next episode coming up after this one with Ryan McCrae. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next episode.
Beyond the To-Do List is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx.